תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Thank you, Creator, for bringing us to this blessed society that allows us to sit together as friends in this preparation for the lesson. Thank you for this environment where your language is the love of friends, which is the force that sustains us, encourages us, and lifts us up. We ask you to help us keep our intention only for the benefit of our friends. May you be the strength of our unity. Connect us as one to fulfill the mission that you gave to our teachers and that we are now part of the mission of revealing you to the whole of humanity. Grant us the strength of faith and bestow so that we may love our friends above reason. Give strength and health to our Rav and to all the friends to continue doing your work. Amen. You can send us questions live through our websites. What does it mean that the righteous suffers afflictions?
Yes, this is another article of our teacher, our Rav, the Rabash, who wrote for us. We better and better understand how much without these articles we would just go wrong, go and veer off the path and completely, we would completely be misaligned with the purpose of creation. Because in these articles, we see just how much the Rabash consistently aims us towards the goal, straight to the goal. And when we learn that, when we read or drink that even, we understand how we're correcting ourselves through this path that he laid out for us in his writings. People who enter the wisdom of Kabbalah think that it can all be done with the intellect. And what are we going to get from activating our brains? We don't know. But this is our nature, the nature of the world, that we have to understand, and from the intellect move to action. But in these articles, he further and further puts us into the right attitude towards creation, towards the Creator, towards the group, that all these things have to be organized or aligned with our desire to change our internality, to change our orientation in the world. Because altogether, in changing our attitude, we move from the lower world to the upper world. And there's no more than two worlds. The difference between them is either in order to receive or in order to bestow. And so all of his articles are organized in a way that step by step, bit more and bit more, we grasp what it means to be in order to bestow. And thus we get closer to the Creator, understand Him, feel Him, and ultimately it builds within each and every one of us this inner path that we understand that this is how we should evolve, that everything is in order to participate with the others, make another step towards becoming one man in one heart, another step so that we all completely connect to the structure of Adam Rishon. And then to that extent, we reveal the Creator, that this is how He sees us, from the present state all the way to the final state where we become one. And that's really the whole implementation of Kabbalah, that not the intellect, but only our shared emotion that we want to develop, to grow, to feel, to build. This feeling, this emotion determines what spiritual degree we're on.
So,
on this path, we certainly go against the nature, our nature, which the Creator has created, and He did so deliberately, so that we will be able to aim, to measure, to feel, to gauge how we move away from in order to Rabash writes in the article, what does it mean that the righteous suffers afflictions?
Rabash's article, what does it mean that the righteous suffers afflictions? The Zohar interprets the verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord will deliver him from them all. It is not written, many are the afflictions to the righteous, but rather many are the afflictions of the righteous, indicating that one who suffers many afflictions is righteous, because the Creator wants him. And because of it, the Creator wants that person and delivers him from them all. We should understand these words. One, why should the righteous suffer afflictions? Two, if afterwards the Lord delivers him, then what is the point in afflicting the righteous if the Creator must then save him? It seems like pointless work. It is known that the order of the work, those who want to walk on the path of truth, called Lishma, for her sake, meaning in order to bestow and not for themselves, is that they want to be righteous and not wicked, called receiving in order to receive in a work. That is, even the acts of bestow that they do with their intention to receive are considered wicked. In the words of the Zohar, as it says about the verse, and the mercy of the nations is a sin, for all the good that they do for themselves. This means that all the good that they do, their intention is their own benefit. And this is their sin. Conversely, those who want to serve the Creator must work only for the sake of the Creator and not for their own sake. Therefore, since the nature of the created beings is only for their own sake, as it is known that the desire to do good to his creations created a lack for this purpose, meaning for the created beings to yearn to receive pleasures, because without yearning, a person cannot enjoy anything. Moreover, The extent of the pleasure depends on the measure of the yearning. For this reason, when a person is told that he must relinquish his own benefit and work for the sake of the Creator, or only by this he can achieve adhesion with the Creator, and this is man's purpose. And this is called repentance, since the quality of reception separates a person from the Creator due to the disparity of form. Because the Creator is the giver, and the created beings receive from Him what He gives them. For this reason, when a person comes to a degree where all he wants is to bestow, this is called equivalence of form. This is regarded as the created being returning to its root, meaning that he unites with the Creator. At that time, he reaches the degree of righteous, since he is no longer working for his own sake, but for the sake of the Creator. Therefore, when a person does not want to work for the sake of the body resists his work and does not let him do anything that is in order to bestow. When a person forgets the intention to bestow and begins to work in order to receive, he can once again continue the work. Yet, according to the rule from Lo Lishma, not for her sake, we come to Lishma, for her sake. Then an awakening from above comes to him, that we must work in order to bestow. And he immediately encounters resistance from the body, which does not let him continue with the work of bestowal. And he begins to feel the afflictions that the body inflicts on him. He repeatedly overcomes his body to some extent, but then descends from the work once more and feels the bad in him. It follows and so on. It follows that one who wants to be righteous constantly feels the afflictions that the body causes him. That is, each time he wants to do something to bestow, the wicked one comes and asks, "What is this work for you?" But when a person works for himself, there is no place for the wicked to ask, "What is this work for you?" Because he is working for the sake of the wicked, called the will to receive for himself. It follows that the wicked's question comes specifically when he wants to work for the sake of the Creator. Now we can understand why specifically the righteous suffer many afflictions. It is because man's inclination overcomes him every day. That is, when the evil inclination sees that a person has some light called day, that he is on the right path, it immediately overcomes him and wants to fail him with its complaints, telling him, "What will you get from wanting to work to bestow?" And that same order happens each and every day. This is, as our sages said, one should always see himself as if he is half guilty, half innocent. If he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit. Yet, what they say, that one should always see himself as half guilty and half innocent, if he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit, then how can we say once again later, half? since he has already sentenced to the side of merit. So why do they say always? As was said, man's inclination overcomes him every day. The minute the evil inclination sees that now it is day for him, it immediately overcomes him. It follows that according to the measure of good that he did, the evil promptly overcomes him. And then he is once more half guilty, half innocent. This is the meaning of overcomes him every day. That is, each day there is a new overcoming. We should interpret that man's inclination overcomes him every day means that the bad in him increases, as in a growing stream of adding evil. For this reason, it is one opposite the other. As soon as a person overcomes and does a good deed, the evil inclination overcomes him. It follows that the righteous suffers many afflictions. That is, each day the bad in him grows. And according to his good deeds, so the evil becomes revealed in him. It is, as our sages said, anyone who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. We should understand what the words than him imply to us. According to what we explained, than him means that his inclination, the fact that his inclination has grown, comes as a result of his great, the man's greatness, since he tried to be a man and not a beast. From this, the inclination grew as well. As it is written, one should always be half guilty, half innocent, so as to be able to defeat the evil. It is impossible to defeat the evil at once. Hence, the evil appears to a person slowly. Each time a person does something good, there is a place to reveal some more evil. This repeats itself until a person corrects all the evil within him. It follows that this is why the righteous suffers many afflictions. We could ask, why does all the evil not appear in a person at once? The answer is that a person would not be able to overcome all the evil within him. Only when the evil in him is not more than the good, and the two are equal, the person can overcome through the power of Torah and mitzvot. For this reason, the bad emerges in a person gradually, meaning the extent that he has obtained the good, some bad is revealed to him from above, until over time, all the bad in a person will be corrected. This is extended from the order of the scrutinies, as it is written that it is permitted to sort out only the 288 sparks, which are the first nine that exist in each path of the 32 paths. But the Malchut in each path is forbidden to scrutinize, to sort. This is called the stony heart, as in, and I will remove the stony heart from your flesh, since it is impossible to correct this evil during the 6,000 years. After the 6,000 years, when the 288 sparks have been sorted, all the evil will be sorted. As it is written in the Zohar, the angel of death will become a holy angel. And this is called death will be swallowed up forever. In this manner, when a person corrects all the evil in him, meaning the vessels of reception, so that they will work in order to bestow, it is impossible to correct it all at once. Rather, the vessel of reception in him, which is the source of evil that separates us from the Creator, is divided into many parts. This is a correction from above. By dividing it into many parts, each time we correct a part into Kedusha, holiness, then another part immediately comes, a bigger part than what we needed to correct before. Because a person becomes accustomed to the work, and so he is given a bigger part of the evil in him to correct each time. It is like a person practicing weightlifting. Each day, he is given a heavier weight to lift. Likewise, in a work, each day we are given a bigger part of the evil to raise. This causes us to see as if we are not advancing in the work, but are regressing. That is, each day one sees that the work is growing harder to overcome. But the reason is that each day is given a bigger piece to correct. The Lord will deliver him from them all. We asked, if the Creator should deliver us from the bed, why does he give us the bed to suffer for no reason? That is, if man could overcome by himself, we could understand that it is given to man to correct. But if the Creator saves him, then what is the point of giving him many afflictions? We already asked, why can't a person overcome by himself? And only the Creator must save him. And if we are given the choice to overcome, why are we not given the strength to be able to overcome? According to what Baal HaSulam said, this is so deliberately, so that a person will ask the Creator for help. And the help he gives is that he gives him a higher soul in order for the person to need to receive a higher degree. Since man must attain the Naran Chai of his soul, and without a need, meaning without a kli, a vessel, called a deficiency, it is impossible to receive a filling. Hence, it was deliberately done so that man should begin the work. When he sees that he cannot overcome, he must not despair, but rather pray to the Creator. As the Zohar says, he who comes to purify is aided. And with what? With a holy soul. Accordingly, there are two things here. One, the person must begin to work in bestowal so as to have a need for the Creator to help him. Since if he could overcome by himself, he would not need the Creator's help. This is considered that he does not have a vessel, and there is no light without a vessel. Two, man was not given the ability to overcome by himself. It follows that this is why he must begin, but cannot finish. By this we understand what we asked. Why the righteous deserve to suffer so many afflictions? It is because the suffering that the righteous suffer from the afflictions that obstructs him from achieving adhesion with the Creator causes him to have a clique. And the reason why there are so many afflictions until he cannot overcome them, but the Creator delivers him from them all, and a person cannot defeat them by himself, is on purpose. Since the Creator cannot give a person a higher degree if he has no need for it. For this reason, the Creator gives him the parts of his soul as deliverance, as it is written, and the Lord delivers him from them all. For this reason, two things are required. One, the righteous must have many afflictions, which are the kli. Two, then he gives him the parts of the soul as deliverance. However, normally, when people ask, when they begin to ask the Creator to help them out of the evil and give them a soul over a part of the evil that has already been recognized as evil, but why does the Creator want a person to reveal a certain measure of evil, and then the Creator will help him? This is how it seems to men. However, we should make two discernments here. One, indeed, the Creator helps a person by revealing to him the bad in him, so he will know the truth. Two, this is revealed only to those who are capable of walking on the path of bestowal. This is why they are shown the evil, so that they will have the ability to correct it. But to people who have no connection to the work of bestowal, the evil is revealed only in general. This is similar to what we do in this world. When a person suffers from an incurable disease, he's not told what is his illness. Instead, he's told that he has other illnesses. But the truth that he has a terminal illness is not shared with him. The reason for this is simple. What will happen if he is told that there is evil in him, there is bad in him, if he cannot correct it? For this reason, in spirituality, a person is shown the evil very slowly to the extent of his ability to work. Accordingly, if a person does not have the revelation of evil to an extent that he has a vessel and a need that is fit to have a soul enter it, it is impossible to place a soul in half a vessel. It is like an embryo in its mother's womb. As our sages said, there are three partners in a person: the Creator, his father, and his mother. The father gives the white, the mother gives the red, and the Creator gives the soul. Clearly, everyone knows that if the father and the mother do their part, a half fetus might still be born. That is, if they do their part, the fetus might be born without a head, but only a body. Or vice versa, it might be born with a head, but no body. Do we want to ask the Creator to do his part? Meaning, to give a soul to have a fetus, and this is how it will be born? Of course, no one is so foolish. It is likewise in the work of the Creator. When a person begins the work, he first begins with the white. His father and mother are called the parents. They are the reason that a person will be born. The father is called male, meaning wholeness. And this is called white, where there are no lacks. That is, he's content with his lot and thanks the Creator for any contact he may have with the work of the Creator, for rewarding him and giving him a thought and desire to have some contact with the work of the Creator. It is as our sages said, walks but does not do, the reward for walking is in his hand. Afterwards, he shifts to the left line called the mother's red. The mother is regarded as a female, a lack, criticizing his good deeds to see if they have the aim to bestow. At that time, he sees the truth, that he is far from it. This gives him the need to pray that the Creator will bring him closer, so he will be rewarded with adhesion with the Creator. Then a person expects, since he already has the two lines and he already feels that he has a need and a vessel, so what else does he need? Only that the Creator will do his part, meaning give the soul. However, if the father's white and the mother's red are still not worthy, since they have not yet been completed, as with the example that they might only produce half a baby, the Creator certainly cannot give his part, which is to give the soul. For this reason, the Creator waits for the right and left line to be completed, so it will be possible to create a complete thing. Then the Creator gives the soul. For this reason, a person cannot say that the Creator does not want to help. On the contrary, the Creator assembles each and every action until there is a complete measure sufficient for the soul to shine in it.
It is written about it in the book, A Sage's Fruit. It is written, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes and he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So we rush our pleas above, knock by knock, tirelessly, ceaselessly, and do not weaken at all when he does not answer us. We believe he hears our prayer, but waits for us for a time when we have the kelim, vessels, to receive the faithful bounty. And then we will receive a reply for each and every prayer at once. Since the hand of the Lord will not be short. It follows that one should not say that he is praying every day, but he's not receiving help from the Creator. Instead, he should believe that the Creator takes each prayer a person prays and adds it to the rest of the prayers that the person has prayed so far. And waits until the measure is full, so it is fit to receive the soul from the Creator. Also, we should make two discernments concerning the prayer in the request, in request for the Creator to help and give strength from above to overcome the evil. One, a person asks the Creator to be able to admit the vessels of bestowal into Kedusha, meaning to have the ability to use them with the intention to bestow. Two, he asks the Creator will give him the power to overcome the vessels of reception too. This is considered that he can aim with the vessels of reception in order to bestow. By this we should interpret what our sages said. We should also explain about it, and Jacob said, Jacob wanted to sit in peace. Joseph's anger jumped on him. The righteous wish to sit in peace. The Creator said, it is not enough for the righteous that they have what is set up for them in the next world. They also wish to sit in peace in this world. It is seemingly difficult to understand what they said. The Creator said, it is not enough for the righteous that they have what is set up for them in the next world. They also wish to sit in peace in this world. There is an explicit Mishnah. Such is the way of Torah. Toil in the Torah. If you do so, happy are you in this world and happy are you in the next world. This means that there should be peace in this world too. We should interpret this in the work. It is known that Bina is called the next world, meaning a vessel of bestowal, since everything consists of two discernments. One, what she receives. Two, what she gives. These are called the quality of Malchut and the quality of Bina, which are giving and receiving. When a person begins the order of the work, he begins to sort out the best first. We begin to sort out and elicit the kelim that are placed inside the vessels of reception, meaning that all the vessels, both reception and bestowal, fell during the breaking of the vessels into the klipot, which are receivers. And in the terminology of Kabbalah, they are called kelim of panim, anterior vessels, or vessels of the face, and kelim of achoraim, posterior vessels. For this reason, once the righteous have corrected for themselves the vessels of bestowal, so as to have the intention to bestow, which is called learning Torah lishma, this is regarded as set up for them for the next world. The righteous do not settle for this, but want to sit in peace in this world. Namely, that the vessels of reception too, which are vessels of achoraim, called vessels of malchut, for malchut is called this world, will also enter kedusha, meaning that they will work in order to bestow. This is the meaning of what he says, Jacob wanted to sit in peace, Joseph's anger jumped on him. Joseph is called Nehi, which are Kelim of Achoraim, the place of disclosure of Chokhmah, which are vessels of reception, regarded as this world. That is, the anger is that he still did not correct them, so they will enter Kedusha. This is why he says, it is not enough for the righteous, etc.
Each and every one has to go through the path of correction. And if a person is drawn to corrections, then they add up more and more work to him according to his ability. And accordingly, also, as much as he tries to correct the corrupted will to receive that is revealed in him, which appeared in him back from the sin of the tree of knowledge, according to that, one advances. And he shifts from being wicked to being righteous. This, all in all, is what we learn in general from our path, until we correct all of the corrupted desires that were broken in the shattering of the vessels, and we correct them to be in order to bestow. And in the correction of the vessels, we learned about it also a little bit, that we need to draw reforming light to see which vessels, and each and every vessel, how broken it is, meaning it is in order to receive, and how much we can assemble them so that they will be in bestowing to each other, and in this way they will be corrected. The correction is about how much the vessel can become incorporated with all the other vessels, and in such a way it is already considered to be corrected or righteous. That's it. So according to man's ability, that he feels himself, his life, he has the ability either to leave himself alone or to correct himself. This is what we see in this world.
Rav Kotev, והעזרה שהוא נותן, היא שנותן לו בחינת נשמה יותר גבוהה.
He writes that the help he gives is that he gives him a higher soul, and for in order for a person to receive a higher degree. What does it mean that the help I receive is a higher soul?
That a greater light is shined on him, and in this light, on the one hand, he sees himself as worse. On the other hand, he can use this light in order to correct himself and rise to a higher degree. Or he doesn't do it, and therefore where the righteous rise, the wicked fall.
So each time that a person manages to overcome by connection, by incorporation in the ten and the friends, it means that he received a greater light.
Of course, if he connects with the ten, then all of them together already make of themselves a complete vessel.
Ken. Ken.
הוא כותב כאן שאדם מבקש מהשם שלהכניס את הכלים דהשפעה.
He writes that a person asks the Creator to put the vessels of bestowal into Kedusha. These are vessels of bestowal. Why are they not already in Kedusha?
Well, for the time being, they are corrupted. After the shattering of the vessels, everything is corrupted, the vessels of reception and the vessels of bestowal. So the correction starts from the lighter vessels. The lighter vessels are the vessels of bestowal. It's easier to correct them than the vessels of reception.
What are vessels of bestowal in our work? How do we build them?
We don't build anything. We only work with the vessels of bestowal in order to bestow.
What is it in the language of working with the ten? what are vessels of bestowal in order to bestow.
When I bestow to the friends, and I try to help them, without taking myself into account, this is considered that I'm working with the vessels of bestow.
Also, what's the difference between the recognition of evil and this phase called the rising of the prayer?
When the evil is revealed and a person feels how much of this evil he has within him and that he has to correct it and he wants to get rid of this evil, then he begins to search for how and what to do. And if he's in a group and reading the articles, then he begins more quickly to direct himself towards correction in the right way. And this is how he reaches the correction. What do you mean?
Is there such a phase called raising of the prayer, or the recognition of evil is the process by which the prayer is created?
The revelation of evil is one of the stages in building the prayer. If one does not discover the evil, he will have nothing about which to pray.
So it's impossible to differentiate between the recognition of evil and the rising of the prayer. This is...
Well, of course, this is clear to us, even without...
From in order to receive or in order to bestow. I wanted to understand from the article, when the evil becomes revealed, the will to receive is neither good nor bad, right?
The will to receive in itself? No.
So we're talking about the intention here.
Yes.
A person tries to be in the intention in order to bestow, and what does he discover? What's the evil?
He's not capable of being in order to bestow, for example, that he, in truth, he wants to receive.
And all of that is in thought or also in action? What, how?
It's in the feeling. In the feeling. It's in the heart.
Thank you. Rav, according to the article, it feels like the evil doesn't belong to man. The Creator put it onto him. The soul also doesn't belong to man. It clothes within him. So who's man?
The man is the one who feels what the Creator awakens in him, and accordingly, as much as he had prepared himself, he responds to what the Creator has awakened in him in a way that is more correct.
What does it mean to overcome the bad with the help of Torah?
Ah, to overcome the bad with the help of the Torah. Okay, this is what we try to do. That if we discover the bad within us, in our character, in our actions, then we need to turn to the group and through the group to the Creator, so that we will have good forces so that we can overcome the bad.
Latin
4, they're asking, what is the work we need to do? What's the part that the Creator does? So what is up to us is to be incorporated in the group, and by absorbing from it all kinds of discernments, we should identify those influences that the Creator operates on us. And to see, to feel, to decide how do we. Yes, Gershon. First of all, I have to say that I truly feel how the reading of Rabash's articles cleanses me, and it really awakens in me a desire for spirituality. I want to ask about the one who suffers and the righteous. He emphasized in the beginning that the one that the Creator wants to bring closer, he's righteous and he suffers. It doesn't work for me. Shouldn't the righteous be happy about the wicked ones that are revealed? Why should he suffer? What is he suffering about? Rav, that he cannot delight the Creator as the Creator is awakening him.
But
the fact that he feels, we're talking about a person being a sentient being, a vessel of feeling. If he feels suffering by that, isn't he already wicked because he's condemning the Creator? Rav, no, this is what he feels. It's not yet considered that he's wicked. He is in a degree, in a state that is not corrected, but it's not yet that he himself is making up this degree and making himself into a wicked. Rather, the Creator is shining to him in this way that he, begin with, is wicked. So what does it mean that the righteous suffers in the work? Rather, that he discovers his own qualities. And can he correct it or not? Should he correct it or not? But when he discovers his own qualities, it awakens in him such states. One of the pieces of advice that Rabash gives us here is to raise our prayers ceaselessly, knock after knock, ceaselessly, tirelessly, and believe that the Creator gathers all of these prayers into one complete prayer. How can we make it so that indeed this is what we will do? Because according to our nature, we see after some time when we don't get results, even the way that we imagine these results, then we simply stop. We drop it. How can we not stop? Rather, no, this has to be group work. Here, there's nothing you can do. We only have a desire towards the goal.
We have to reach the same structure that we were in the beginning of creation, even though we became heavier, wiser, more wicked. Yet, we have to once again become as one man with one heart. And that's again.
What should be some common emotion between us so that according to this feeling, this is what will define what is the degree of attainment we're in? Should it be despair, anger, joy?
We are working to connect between us in order to bestow to the Creator, that's all. Connecting between us to bestow to the Creator. So, the feeling of participation between us that we want to give the
Ben söylüyorum, değil mi Ekber? Makalede kişi yarı suçlu.
It is written in the article that a person should feel himself as half guilty and half innocent.
Yes.
What makes a person feel this feeling that he's guilty of something?
Veya yapmadı.
Anachnu poalim be merchav shel or.
We work within the realm of the upper light. And to the extent that we are opposite to it or similar to it, in that we come to some conclusion of our from our actions, and that's what we feel. That's it.
Да, дорогой Рав, тут тоже написано, что зло раскрывается постепенно, чтобы была возможность.
It says here that the evil is revealed in a gradual manner, so that it will be possible to overcome this great evil. What is the revelation of evil in our work in the 10?
Well, we each one of the ten is being shown his will to receive and how much we cannot get closer to each other in that will to receive. As written in the Zohar, that the students of Rabbi Shimon, in the beginning of their gathering for the lesson, for the conversation with him, so they would sit and be like people at war with each other. And only after the result of the study and the work that each one did on himself, they start getting closer to each other, become softer, and thus renew the work between them.
For example, feel that it's harder to focus during the lesson because there are all kinds of other thoughts that come. Is this the additional revelation of evil?
А что значит, что мы исправим все зло? Это значит, что я, к примеру, буду на уроке, и у меня не будет.
What does it mean that we will correct all of the evil? Let's say with this example, I'll be in the lesson, I will have no disturbances.
We will never have times without disturbances, because otherwise we won't advance.
We
will not advance.
I sort or scrutinize something which is outside of me.
You can scrutinize yourself opposite the upper light, opposite what is opposite to you, meaning that when the upper light shines with some illumination, then accordingly you feel who you are against it. And thus you decide that you have to change and what you have to do with yourself.
Здравствуйте. Скажите, пожалуйста, что значит не дают человеку больше, чем он может преодолеть, если мы
Hello. Видим, что человек Tell us, please, what does it mean that a person gets more than he can overcome? We do see people go out of the way or die.
From above, it's revealed to a person according to his strength, according to his vessels. And if he's not capable, then he discovers his weakness, that he's not able to pay for the...
Мировой клин Драгорав, у меня два вопроса, один в продолжение другого. Первый.
Good morning, dear Rav. Worldly, I have two questions. One follows the other. The first is, the more I discover evil in me, does that mean I come closer to the Creator if I can overcome it?
Вот к этому подъему каждый раз десятку, чтобы подвинуть именно их к Творцу.
Rav, yes. Second question is, how do I come closer with the ten?
You won't be able to advance at all if you don't bring the ten closer to you.
How do I incorporate it in me if I feel the evil in me?
Still, you're included in them, you connect to them. And only as a result of that you rise. Otherwise, there'll be no ascent.
Thank you, Rav. It's written in the article that the guilty, the Creator doesn't give a person a greater degree if he doesn't have the need for it. And I also heard you say that he either rises or he falls, meaning he has an opportunity to do the right thing. So what does a person miss in order to have, what are we missing in order to have the real need for it?
That he will be connected to the friends and that he will feel that in an ascent with them, he rises to a higher degree. To rise above means to strengthen, to connect more between us. Until we come.
There are moments that the evil is revealed very intellectually. I understand the picture, and sometimes it's very emotional. And you can feel that a prayer rises at such moments. Do I have the ability to invert it from intellectual to emotional, or it's simply the Creator who decides if it comes this way or that way?
That depends on the person. Of course, the Creator participates in this as well. There are states that one person can respond in a certain way, and that someone else can respond completely differently.
Suppose now the article is very clear, the conversation is clear, evil is revealed, and I feel I have to ask for it, but it's not the truth for me. How can I really have the pain and the real prayer? And what I feel is now, okay, I guess now it's not the time to squeeze it, because, okay, you got what I'm... So I should agree with it, that this is how I see it at the moment, systematically. I'm not crying at the moment.
After all the criticism, all the calculations, I accept what goes on. And I receive it as something that...
Fiction, the individual or the ten? What is the relationship between the individual... the righteous and the ten.
Ma yachas she tzadiku. Ah, klapei ha'isurim, as tzadiku mikabel et.
The relation towards the suffering, so the righteous receives the suffering through which he rises in the degrees. And the others according to their degree. Or do I not understand the question? We all receive the forces of development. Each one receives it according to the extent that he prepares himself, either to receive it as forces of ascent or descent, or as forces of pain, suffering, and so on. We aim to accept them together in the ten, and then it will be clearer that is, in order to rise to a higher degree, to another degree, again and again, that's how it is.
Can you repeat, please?
Repeat, please.
The end is that I want to be the righteous, or I have to want that my ten has to be the righteous one?
Yes. It depends one on the other. To the extent you pull the ten to be righteous, the ten helps you to be righteous.
Thus, you see that the nekuda, singular of nekudot, of chirik, could not emerge and rule in the world of nekudim. Moreover, it caused the breaking of the vessels. This was because it wanted to clothe inside the otiyot, in the tanhim below the palsa of Atzilut, which became Bia. However, later, in the world of correction, the dot of Chirik received its correction. Since it was corrected into shining below the otiyot. This means that when Zatav Atzilut received the light of Gadlut from Abba Ve'ima, which should lower the ending bottom hay from the place of the Chazeh to Siyum Ragli Navak, and connect the vessels of Tanhim to Atzilut, and the lights will expand down to Siyum Raglin Avak. Yet they do not do so, but rather raise these Tanhi from the place of Bia to the place of Atzilut, above the Parsa, and receive the lights while they are above the Parsa of Atzilut, so that no breaking of the vessels would occur in them again, as in the world of Nikudim. This is considered that the thought of Chirik, which raises the vessels of Tanhi, of Zat of Atzilut, stands below these vessels of Tanhim that it raised. That is, it stands in the place of the Parsa of Atzilut. Thus, the dot of Chirik serves below the Otiyot. This explains the three Nekudot, Da, Cholam, Shuruk, Chirik, in general.
No, Namchir.
Let's continue.
Title, The Matter of Raising of Man, of Zat, of Nikudim to Abba Ve'ima, and the Explanation of the Sfira Da'at. Item 92. It has already been explained that due to the ascent of the bottom hay to Nikve'inaim, which occurred in the second restriction, when the Katnut of the 10 Sfirot of Nikudim emerged, each degree divided into two halves, Galgalta and Dinaim, remained in the degree, for which they are called anterior vessels, and Ozen Chotem Peh, which fell from the degree to the one below it, are therefore called posterior vessels, as it is written in item 76. Thus, each degree is now twofold, made of internality and externality, since the posterior vessels of the upper degree fell to the internality of its own anterior vessels. A fallen chap of Keter of Nikudim are clothed inside Galgalta and Einaim of Abba Ve'ima. And the fallen chap of Abba Ve'ima are clothed inside Galgalta and Einaim of Zat of Nikudim.
Okay, that's what happened. Go on.
Item 93. In consequence, when the new light of Absag, of Ak, comes to the degree and lowers the bottom hay back to her place at the Pe during the Gadlut of Nikudim, the degree returns her Achap to her, and its 10 Sfirot of vessels and 10 Sfirot of lights are completed. It is then considered that the lower degree too, which was attached to the Achap of the upper one, rises along with them to the upper one. This is so because the rule is that there is no absence in the spiritual, and as the lower one was attached to the Achap of the upper one, during the Katnut, they are not separated from each other during the Gadlut as well. When the Achap of the upper one returns to their degree, it follows that the lower degree has now actually become a higher degree, since the lower one that rises to the upper one becomes like it. Can I ask about the point of Chirik we talked about previously? What? He writes in item 90 that the Chirik is a new light that Zat received from Abba Vima. Later, in 91, he explains that the dot of Chirik is what actually elevates all the chap so that they don't break again, like in the world of Nikudim.
A chap of the ascent.
Yes, so I don't understand, what is this dot of chirik? Is it light or is it a force or a mechanism that guards that there won't be another shattering? Or I didn't get it.
We'll see. The question is good.
Can you explain this second restriction that suddenly made the connection between the lower one and the upper one we didn't have before?
It's Binah to blame because it includes in her also part of Keter Chochmah and also part of Zon. All these things are included in Binah. All the Partsuf is included in Binah.
According to what we learned now, it turns out that without the second restriction, the whole process couldn't advance later.
Right, so what's the question? Of course. Binah is the main thing here.
Partsuf Amerkazi?
The main Partsuf. Okay, what do you want, Baruch?
According to what we just read in 96, that there is no absence in the spiritual, there is only addition. After the we have the first state where Zeranpin is in its place, and in the second state it rose to Abba Vehima. Do they affect one another? Is there a connection between the first and second states to Zon?
We'll see, I don't know.
How does this rule work when there's no absence in the spiritual?
I don't know. I learn what I read.
Also about the ascent of man, we learn that the spiritual movement is a change of form, an ascent or descent, right? And when closer to the bestower or more distant from the bestower. So what does a ascent mean here? There wasn't change of form in the Zon. It only wants to change its qualities.
We'll discover it.
Thank you.
I'm not just saying this, I'm giving you an example how you need to respond to the fact that for the time being, we can't attain what is happening. As a factor. This protection means that we can always add in the matter of choosing our environment, which are the friends, books, teachers, and so on. It is like a person who inherited a few stalks of wheat from his father. From this small amount, he can grow many dozens of stalks through his choice of the environment for his source, which is fertile soil that contains all the necessary minerals and raw materials that nourish the wheat abundantly. There is also the matter of the work of improving the environmental conditions to fit the needs of the plant and the growth, for the wise will do well to choose the best conditions and will succeed. And the fool will take from whatever comes before him and thus turn the sowing to a curse rather than a blessing. Thus, all the praise and spirit depends on the choice of the environment in which to sow the wheat. The ones it has been sown in the selected location, the wheat's absolute shape is determined according to the measure that the environment is capable of providing. So is the case with our topic, for it is true that the desire has no freedom. Rather, it is operated by the above four factors. And one is compelled to think and examine as they suggest, denied of any strength to criticize or change as the wheat that has been sown in its environment. However, there is freedom for the will to initially choose such an environment, such books and such guides that impart upon him good concepts. If one does not do this, but is willing to enter any environment that appears before him and read any book that falls into his hands, he is bound to fall into a bad environment or waste his time on worthless books which are abundant and more accessible. In consequence, he will be forced into foul concepts that make him sin and condemn. He will certainly be punished, not because of his evil thoughts or deeds, in which he has no choice, but because he did not choose to be in a good environment. For in this, there is definitely a choice. Therefore, he who strives to continually choose a better environment is worthy of praise and reward. But here too, it is not because of his good thoughts or deeds, which come to him without his choice, but because of his effort to acquire a good environment, which brings him these good thoughts and actions. It is as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia said, make for yourself a Rav and buy for yourself a friend.
I didn't understand.
What does a person need to examine himself in order to be included internally in the ten, in the environment?
Being incorporated in the environment means you have to feel your environment, to feel its internality, and to try to be incorporated in it above reason. When your intellect, your emotion, what you have won't stand in your way, to really be adhered to the environment.
So what does it mean then to be adhered to the environment even though my mind and my emotion are resisting?
If they resist, you have to work on it. You have discernments, what goes against, what may be in favor of. And this is how you're coming closer to be in the environment.
How can I come closer to the environment if my mind and heart are resisting?
You examine, so you have a mechanism by which you can examine yourself. And you can examine the environment and yourself and to see if that's for you or not for you. The environment gives you an opportunity to advance in its own path, on its way.
How does a person identify the path that the environment paves for him if he's resisting it?
Resisting means he already understands. He doesn't think like them. Now the question is, should he be like them in order to advance to the same goal that he chose? Or he didn't choose the same goal, so he doesn't have to agree with them. What's the big problem here?
Okay.
Last one.
לסביבה אנחנו צריכים, ועמית שואל, מה לעשות אם יתגלה רע?
So what to do if evil is revealed? A person is impressed, has an impression from it for a second, but then he understands that the Creator is exposing his egoistic nature, and it's like this crust immediately covers the heart and there is no prayer as a result. What can be done?
What do you do? You should try to not a less connected environment. If you want to stay in that direction, you have to examine the goal. And if the goal, he likes the goal, he has to accept all the right components for it. Okay, these are things that, well, there are a lot of talk here, but there is no benefit here.
אין תועלת, אלא לראות, להחליט ולעשות.
One should look, decide,